That's 1 to 14. John, chapter 21, verse 1 to 14. It reads, after these things, Jesus shewed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise shewed himself to you. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana and Galilee, and the son of Zebedee, and the two others of his disciples. 3. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. And then forth and entered. Jesus said unto them, bring up the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the nets to the land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask of him, who art thou, knowing that he is the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread, and giveth them, and the fish likewise. This is not the third time that Jesus shewed himself to his disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead. This ends the Bible reading.
Amen.
Good morning, church. It's certainly a pleasure to be here in the Lord's house and to teach so many faces, some new, some old. We thank you and welcome you to the Blessed Church of Christ, where everybody is somebody and God is everything. We want to encourage and invite you to come back and visit with us as often as you can and know that a warm Christian welcome awaits you here. The Bible says in Romans 16 and verse number 16, salute one another, for the holy kiss, the churches of Christ salute you. If you have any questions regarding anything that is said from this pulpit, please feel free to speak to me or any of our men or anyone. And if you have a Bible question, we'll do our best to give you a Bible answer. For we believe in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, not Revelations, Revelation, and that God has the answer to every question. I invite your kind attention to the Gospel of John, chapter 21. John, chapter 21, and meet me in verse number 1. John, chapter 21, beginning of verse number 1 to 14, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. It is here our Bibles read and teach. In verse 1, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Verse 3 says, Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, I am going with you also. They ran out and immediately got into the boat. That night they caught nothing. But when morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? They answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. And as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Verse 10 says, and Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to the full, to the land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, likewise the fish. This, in verse 14, is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. It is from verse number 6 that we extract the title of today's message, Fishing on the Right Side and Not the Left. Fishing on the right side and not the left. Today we want to consider the life of the Apostle Peter. Yes, that same Peter who was called by Jesus in Matthew chapter 14. In verse 18 it says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen." Verse 19 says, "And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" Verse 20 says, "They immediately left their nets and followed him." So Jesus called Peter, a fisherman, to become a fisher of men. This same Peter was the same one who confessed Jesus as the Christ in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18. In verse 18, you remember he was in the region of Caesarea Philippi, and Jesus asked him, "What's the word on the street? Who do man say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They say, "You were Elijah, one of the prophets." But Jesus asked him, "Who do you say that I am?" He said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." He said, in other words, "You didn't get this from man, but my Father which is in heaven." And he said in verse number 18 of Matthew 13, "And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Yes, this same Peter was the one who Jesus said would deny him three times. And in Matthew chapter 26, and verse number 35, and says, Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all of the disciples. And then by the time we get to John chapter 18, Peter had denied Jesus three times. And you know, some of us will make promises to God that we have good intentions. Good intentions, but those same good intentions lead to ruin, because when life happens, we fall into a quandary. And so this same Peter is the one that we read about in John chapter 21. He, Peter, who Jesus called from his profession of catching fish, Jesus said, "I will make you fishers of men," denied Jesus three times, and the cock crew that third time. And you can imagine how Peter felt. You put yourself in Peter's shoes when you disappoint, or something in life happens and we don't meet the mark. And so today I want to ask a few questions and something for us to consider. Number one, what are some of those setbacks in your life? What are some of the setbacks in your life? Number two, how do we deal with the setbacks and failures in our lives? And number three, what did Peter do when he experienced his setback? He left his profession as a fisherman, came and walked with Jesus the best he could, and then he disappointed the Lord. And then what did he do? He went back to his old lifestyle. He went back to his old profession, and he missed his purpose. And number four, why do we on occasion have a hard time fishing on the right side, God's way, versus fishing on the left side of the boat, our way? You know, in the Bible, the scriptures equate the left and the right to be significant things. Significant things in the Bible uses the right hand to symbolize strength, honor, and blessing, while the left hand can signify weakness, inferiority, or judgment. And you remember in Matthew chapter 25, verse 33, Jesus separates the righteous from the wicked by placing the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left, signifying salvation on the right and judgment on the left. And so, with that in mind, let us consider why we fail sometimes in our lives. Right side thinking versus left side thinking. On the left side, this is the flesh. We want to do things our way. Isn't that right? We want to do things our way. Not like Frank Sinatra, he said, I did it my way. But when we do it our way, we get ourselves in trouble. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 25, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of destruction. How many of us have said, I felt this was the right decision, and then when you do it your way, you find yourself in trouble. There is a way that seems right versus the right side. That's the left-hand thinking. The right side, we only do things God's way. Left side thinking is trusting my own skills and my own power. And the right side is trusting God. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledging him, and he shall direct your path. The problem we have in life sometimes is we make decisions without consulting God, and then when we get out of trouble, then we want to pray. We ought to do it the other way around. Pray first, and ask God to bless our plans, and we'll keep ourselves from left-hand thinking. The left-hand thinking is a failure to submit. We fail to submit sometimes. Submission. That seems like a dirty word these days. Folks don't want to submit. You think submission is a bad way. But the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 18, it says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. One of the things we've got to tamp down in this Christian life is pride. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall, the Bible says. But right side thinking is submitting to God. The word submit is a military term. It means to line oneself up under. It means to line oneself up under. In other words, I was many years ago, when I was a younger man, I was in the Miller Regiment, nothing exciting, and the platoon sergeant would say, fall in. They would have what they call a right marker, and it usually was the tallest person in the platoon. And you had to, as the rest of the platoon, fall in under. And so God himself, Jesus, wants us to submit. We must line ourselves up under Jesus. He wants us to follow him, because he will not follow us. Amen. And so submission is our gift to God. We are to submit to God. And left side thinking is sin, and the opposite on the right side is obedience to God. Left side thinking is foolishness, and right side thinking is faith in God. And so let us look at the Apostle Peter. The Apostle Peter here, and that will set us up for the outline of John chapter 21. And so now Peter has gone back to his old life. We notice in John chapter 21, Peter's failure. Peter quit preaching. Peter quit preaching and went back to fishing. First of all, we notice the place of us in the beginning. He denied Jesus, as we said, and he went back to his old profession. And that's what happens sometimes. Old habits are hard to break, aren't they? Amen. You ever notice sometimes when we get ourselves in pressure and trouble, the old type of conversation starts coming back. The old habits start coming back. Old habit or bad habit is hard to break. And a good habit is hard to develop. And it requires time and effort. And so Peter went back to his old profession. Notice the pain of it. Notice he wept bitterly. He wept bitterly when he denied Jesus. That's a grieving process. When we have our pity party, you ever have a pity party? Huh? Woe is me. If that were to happen, and so and so did, and you want to blame everybody else except looking at yourself. Amen. You let yourself down, you let God down, but that's all right. He had wronged the Lord. And in Proverbs chapter 13, and verse number 15, get there before me. hear those pages turn. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 15 says, good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. Good understanding. How do we get understanding? A lot of times we get understanding by making mistakes. We get our understanding by making mistakes. Oh, now I understand what mama meant. Now I understand what daddy meant. Now I understand what God meant and what he said, because I shall listen and I wouldn't find myself in this mess. And then we see the price of it. He felt a loss of fellowship. He felt a sense of a loss of joy, a loss of his peace. That was a left side attitude. And so what Peter decided to do, he said, I'm going to go back to my old profession. And then we notice Peter's foolishness in John chapter 21, in verses 1 and following. His choices. After the resurrection, he must have thought his ministry was over. There have been many times, if I speak personally, in my own Christian life, I made a lot of mistakes. I made a lot of bad choices, and I felt within myself that I am unworthy. And so what is the use of going on? That, you know, God is never going to forgive me for all these sins that I have committed. You ever felt like that? Sometimes, maybe you're there right now, because of his choices. And so, notice his contention. He took others with him. John chapter 21 says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself, Simon Peter was there, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, two others of his disciples were together. Peter not only took himself, but he took others with him. And that's what happens sometimes, because our sin has an impact on other people. Did you know that? It's not you by yourself, it's your influence. Because listen, folk are watching you, folk are following you, folk are saying, well, if he can do it, I can do it. If she did it, I can do it too. And so he took others with him. Notice as well, church, all of them were there. Simon said to them, I'm going fishing. They said, we're going with you. Verse number 3. Then they went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night, what did they catch? Professional fishermen here. They caught nothing. Yeah, but try it. You've got all the right equipment, you're in the right place, you're doing all the right things, and it's still not working out. It's still not working out. Why? Because you have lost your focus. You have lost your focus. And so the consequences, Peter and his companions fished all night, and the Bible says they caught nothing. And so here Peter he was forced to admit his failure. Look at verse number 5. Morning had come, verse 4, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. How is it that Jesus was standing right there? They were looking at Jesus and they couldn't recognize it as Jesus. You know why? Because sometimes it's not what you're looking at. It's where your focus is. Amen. Sometimes the answer is right in front of you, and pride will keep your eyes blinded from the reality that's right in front of you. In verse number 5, you know Jesus. I like Jesus. I like Jesus. Verse number 5 says, when morning had come, verse 5, Jesus said to them, children, I like that, children, have you any food? Did Jesus know that they were fishing all night? Yes, he knew that. Huh? He wasn't asking the question for his benefit, it was for their benefit. Have you caught anything? And they said, what? Why aren't you sleeping? Why aren't you at peace? Why is your mind not at ease? Because, listen, you cannot have the peace of God unless you are at peace with God. Did you know that? Did you? Maybe it's just me. He was forced to admit his failure. And then Peter started obeying Jesus again. Watch this now, verse 6. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude. Did you know, church, that this is not the first time that Jesus spoke to Peter in this way? Did you know that? Turn with me in your Bibles, because it looks like you're interested, to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Notice what the Bible says. I got excited now. I'm getting excited. Luke chapter 5. a similar circumstance, same people. Luke chapter 5 and verse number 1 says, so it was as the multitudes pressed against him to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake of the Gennesaret, and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got in verse number 3 into one of the boats, which was whose? Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. Then he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Verse 4 says, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, that's Simon Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for catch. Well, notice Peter's attitude in these verses. But Simon answered, said to him, Master, we have toiled what? All night and caught nothing. Same circumstance. We've been out here fishing all night, Jesus, and nothing's happening. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. What's he saying? Listen. Listen. We are professional fishermen, Jesus. And we're working out for us, but just to entertain you. Huh? Did Jesus know they had caught nothing?
Yes.
Did he know what to do? Yes. Did he have the answers? Yes. He was right there with them. But he said, nevertheless, no, we're just entertaining. We'll just put up with him. He don't know anything. We're professionals. You know how we get. We think we know more than God. Isn't that right? Huh? And so he said, let down your nets. Verse 6, and when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to the other partners in the other boats to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken, and so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid, for from now on you will catch men. Watch this now. This is the second time. You know how we are? We have selective amnesia. Selective amnesia. This is not the first time that God had encountered Simon Peter in the same dilemma, and he proved himself the second time. Saw him on the shore. I'm feeling something with this. Listen, whatever you go through, everything you go through for that matter, is for a reason. What does the Bible say? Listen, all things, Romans 8:28, for all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So, his consequences, he started to obey the Lord again in John chapter 21 and verse 6. Note, again, this is not the first time Peter's faith was tested. And so, we see right side thinking is starting to happen. With Jesus. What did Jesus do? Jesus found Simon Peter in the context of his crisis. You know, the Lord will always show up. Did you know that? God will always show up. No matter how difficult or the circumstances, you say, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do, God will show up. God will always show up. You remember that song says, listen, he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. God is never late, and he's always on time. He called them children because Jesus still loved Peter. Still loved Peter. Then the Bible says in verse number 7, that therefore the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. This is not the first time Peter's plunged into the sea for the Lord. Did you know that? You remember when they were in the storm and the Lord was walking on the storm, and Peter said, if you're able, command me to come. And the Lord said, what? Come. Huh? And what happened? Peter started sinking. Why? Because he took his eyes off of the Lord. What happened? Why do we sink in our Christianity? Because we take our eyes off of God. Don't look at me. I'm not looking at you. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the right side and not on the left. So he fed him. He said to them to bring some of the fish, in verse 10, that they had caught some, and Peter went and dragged the net with a large fish. And Jesus said to him in verse number 12, come and eat breakfast. You know, sometimes we have to be ministered to our physical self before God can deal with our spiritual self. God has a great care and concern for us. He will never leave you. That's his promise. Or forsake you is what the scripture says. And so he fed him and then he freed him. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 15. When they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, talking by himself, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Second time he said to him again, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. Then he said to him a third time, verse 17, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, I know, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. And you know, Peter denied Jesus three times in scripture. And here the Lord restored Peter with three questions. He restored Jesus. And so, because God saw Peter's future as well, in verses 18 and 19, the Lord said to Peter, most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wish. You know, young folks, you know, you can get up and run. I just love Nathaniel, young Nathaniel. I wish I had a quarter of his energy. Amen. He just got boundless energy, enthusiasm. The Lord put that spirit in him. But he's not always going to be able to run like that. You know, there was a time, young, old folk, hey man, you can just jump up when you want and do what you want. There was a time, he said. But he said in verse number 18, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and you're going to need somebody else to gird you, to help you along and take you by the hand and carry you where you do not wish. Come on, you know. I work with those Alzheimer's patients and folk with dementia. Huh? They're physically, but their mind is somewhere else. That's God's business. In verse number 19, he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Isn't that what he told Peter in Matthew chapter 4? Follow me, and I will make you fishers. So, you know how we learn? By repetition. We got to repeat it over and over. Parents, didn't I tell you? So, you see his sacrifice for the gospel of his life, his service to the Lord, his surrender. He surrendered himself completely to the Lord. In verse 22, Jesus said to him, if I will, he asked him about the disciple whom the Lord loved or Jesus loved. He said, listen, don't worry about that. In verse 22, if I will, then he remain till I come. What is it to you? You follow me. You follow me. See, every one of us have a separate path in our lives, but God is the one who designed that for us. And so the secret to your future is hidden in your daily routine. There's some things that we need to learn from these verses. Number one, fishing on the right side instead of the left. Number one, let down the net on the right side in obedience to God. Let down the net on the right side in obedience to God. Whatever that is for you. Sometimes we have a hard time obeying God, don't we? We know what the right thing to do. But this flesh gets in the way. Number two, failure, frustration, and futility is a result when you do things your way, which is left side fishing. Failure, frustration, and futility is the right when you do things your own way. And the opposite, number three, when you obey the Lord's command, the reward of a huge catch of fish will result. been the feeding of the 5,000. A few loaves and a few fish. The Lord took that little and blessed it and made it a lot. God doesn't, he's not expecting for you to bring a mountain. He said in another place, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, huh? That's one of the smallest seeds in the world. If you have that type of faith in God, he can do the impossible. What may seem impossible, you will be saying those verses, I can do all things through Christ who strength. It starts with us following, and it starts with us coming. And I'm reminded of that scripture in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, where Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But it starts with a simple command, come. Come. In other words, obey me. Number four, you can master the deep with the Lord until the Lord masters you in the shallows. Let me repeat that. You cannot master the deep with the Lord until the Lord masters you in the shallows. We want to head out there and leap mountains and do what may seem to be the impossible. Listen, your faith must begin on the shore. When did Peter activate his faith? When he walked in the water? When he made the first step out of that boat? That's when he activated his faith. We want to pray to God, yes, pray, but you've got to activate your faith as well. You've got to do something. Faith without works, the Bible says, is dead. And number five, Peter was a master fisherman, but Jesus is the master of the fishermen. Peter was a master fisherman, but Jesus is the master of the fishermen. In other words, you catch them, and the Lord will clean them. You catch them, huh? And here's the interesting thing. I remember many years ago, this preacher said this, and it's always stuck with me. See, a fisherman catches live things, and then they kill them. But Jesus catches dead things and makes them alive, huh? Does that make sense? You catch that fish on that hook, and you ain't gonna kill it, so you need it. But we are the walking dead, those who are in sin. And the Lord says, you catch them dead, and I will make them alive. Isn't that interesting? And so, church, you gotta recognize that Jesus was the master. And number six, commit to the Lord on the shore before you wade into the deep. Commit to the Lord on the shore before you wade out into the deep. Listen, the Bible says, as much is given, much more will be required. We are praying, some of us are praying to God, Lord, give me this and give me that. But listen, what are you doing with what he's already given you? What are you doing with what he's already given you? He's given you a little to test your faith. But you're saying, Lord, give me more, but you're not doing anything but what he's already given you. So listen, your faith is tested and developed and strengthened and grows on the shore before the Lord can take you out into the deep. Isn't that interesting? And so Peter was walking with Jesus. And Jesus understood that, listen, I've got bigger plans for you. And this same Peter church was the same Peter that preached the first gospel sermon in Acts chapter 2. He was the first gospel preacher in your Bible. He was the one who the Lord said, I will give you the keys to the kingdom. What was that? He was going to unlock the church for the Lord. He said, your job is not to go out fishing. He started us as a fisherman and became a preacher. He wanted to go back to that job. He said, that's not your job. Your job is to preach the gospel. Your job is to go out and save souls. And even us today, when you go to work, you are not going to work for yourself. You're not going to work to make money. You're going to the work to be the light of the world, salt of the earth, to be Jesus everywhere you go. Fishing on the right side and not the left. Everything we do is wrapped up in the choices that we make. It's a conscious effort, church. And so, when you have history with God, you can trust God on the basis of what God has already done. God has already proven himself to you. He got you out of the mess. Amen. Time and time and time again, he said, listen, all I want you to do is trust me right now. Not tomorrow, not next week, today. Trust me. Even when it doesn't make sense. Huh? There's scripture, 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, so then we walk by faith, not by sight. We've been out here fishing all night, Lord. Ain't nothing happening. The Lord said, listen, I want you to cast that net on the right side and stay there. Even though it doesn't make sense, even though you think you know what you know, but trust me. Trust me in this moment and see what I will do with you, for you, and through you. And so if you're here today and you're not a Christian, you can begin that journey of faith with the Lord. What must I do to be saved? Five simple things. You must hear the word of God, Romans 10, 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You've got to believe that Jesus is the only one that can save you from your sins. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You must repent of your sins. Luke 13:3-5, I tell you now, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Confess Jesus as Lord. Romans 10:9-10, with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And finally, you must be baptized in water for the remission of the sins, as Acts 2:46-48, Mark 16:15-16, Matthew 28:18-20, and many other passages of scripture. And for those of us who are Christians, you know this Christian life is not an easy one. It's not easy, but we have help. All we've got to do is trust God. And in that trusting, our faith is developed. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10 says, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. The Lord has more work for you. Where are you today? Are you fishing on the left side, or are you fishing on the right side today? The choice is yours. But each one comes with its own consequences. If you're here today, you need prayer. You just want to give God thanks because he is a good God. He has been better to me, better to you, than we have ever been, even to ourselves. Or you just want to ask the Lord to be a better you. A better you today than you were yesterday. It will be our privilege to pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song of invitation.